Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And that is the radio show where we talk about the Akashic Records. We talk about your life. We take your questions, and you can sign in your, you can email your questions, or you can go ahead and just call in your questions. Tonight, if you want to email your questions, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. Or you can call the numbers on your on the screen. The 800 number is 888-429-5471. That's for the U.S. and Canada. Anybody calling outside the country, you might want to call our country code 011, and it's 530-413-4511. And those for we also have a listening number if you want. If you want to just listen, you can call 760-569-7676, and the access code is 192919 pound. So for those people who are driving in their car and you know they would like to listen to the program, hopefully you can go up on the BBS radio website on station 2 and you can have all those numbers right in front of you. So tonight again, we for those people who are just listening for the first time, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. And they are the energetic recording. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And so every week we take a question from the audience. Either somebody emails me the question or calls in ahead of time with a question, or it just comes up in meditation. So with the question we're going to be working with tonight, and again, you're welcome to call in your question for the Akashic Records, and it's easily for me to access. The other thing is I access through a holy prayer, and that prayer, that specific sacred prayer, is not religious. It is divine, and it's all energetic. So if you have questions about how the Akashic Records work or how I access, please feel free to call in. It's not about a psychic reading. We're not talking about futures here. We're talking about how we operate on planet Earth. And so for tonight, one of the questions that I get, because I do individual consultations with people both for their as a life coach and in their life and their as well as in business. So I do business consultations, and I do business coaching through the Akashic Records, and I also do life coaching through the Akashic Records, and or in just one-time individual consultations. And, you know, you're welcome. In fact, if you want to call me privately after the show, my telephone number is 216-691-1233. And, again, all that information is on the website at bbsradio.com. So but the question we're going to be dealing with tonight, or one of them, is why is self-love so hard, and why did we do this to ourselves? In other words, like what's important for us to understand is, as humans, we battle with ourselves constantly. The majority of people have a real hard time loving themselves. They say they love themselves. And many people think they love themselves, but yet their life doesn't reflect that belief system. And the best way to understand what your true opinion is of yourself is to look at your life. And if, in fact, your life is not the way you want it to be, if, in fact, your life is not and your environment is not what you want, then we need to take a look at what actions we're taking that mirror our life so that we can change those actions, and the mirror is then one of which we like. Now, let me just kind of back up on that. What's being said here is that, and by the way, this information is coming directly from the Akashic Records. This is a question that has come up time after time of why is self-love so hard from a multitude of people, not just one person, but many of you have asked the same question. And I've asked this question. I mean, we all struggle with it. But the reality is that our belief systems show up in our lives, and they mirror our opinions. They mirror our beliefs that we have learned at the feet of parents and authority figures. And so I went into the Akashic Records, and I asked this question, why is self-love so hard, and why did we do this to ourselves? And so I'm about to share with you the information I got, and I would love to have you call in and let's talk or let's have this discussion. So here's the answer that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records gave me around why is self-love so hard. The issue of self-love the issue of self-love is the well of, let me see. The issue of self-love is the well of despair the human race is climbing out of. Self-love is the leftover guilt from the beginning of time. From a human conscious point of view, it was anchored as the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden. In other words, these are the belief systems that came forward. From that point forward, humans have felt not good enough to be divine or to receive or accept their own divinity. The story of the Garden of Eden is a story about attention and intention, and it holds a strong symbology for the plights of the psyche of the humans today. Self-love will always be elusive as long as humans fight who they are. The key to self-love is self-acceptance. Dark, light, good, bad, positive, negative, all totaled together as the whole. The point humans miss is that we came into body and into this density to experience all of it. Yet we fight most of it. We base our opinion of ourselves by the opinions of others, rather than believing the divine, and also, you know, we end up believing those that tell us we aren't good enough. So it's about really believing what the divine has to say to us. The divine message. Now, when we base our opinions of ourselves by the opinions of others, we are not doing ourselves a service. And the way we get those opinions of others from others is as children, we hear the words of our parents as if those words were coming from God, because they have such weight, such authority. The children truly don't know any better. They may feel that something is wrong, but being helpless and at the mercy of their caretakers, they are forced to believe what they are told and what they perceive from the actions of their parents. Now, today, the indigos and the crystal children have come to challenge and change the old ways. If you're curious about what I mean by or what the master's teachers and loved ones are talking about with the indigo children or the crystal children, please, you know, that's a subject for another time. But you can Google that and have a better understanding of what that's about. But these new beings of light that are coming in as our children have truly come to challenge and change the old ways. They are the system busters. However, many of the indigo kids are in such pain that they have a hard time understanding their next step. Adults have a responsibility to teach only love to their children. Love is a child's birthright, you know. Self-love is a human's birthright and ultimate purpose. So when the masters, teachers, and loved ones are talking here, they're talking about us as beings of light, rediscovering who we are. And as we rediscover who we are, we take on our own beliefs of what our own truth is. And as we discover what our own truths are, we can then integrate the confidence, the self-esteem that we have lost over the years by believing other people. So overcoming the opinions of others is a challenge because we learn early to give our power away. We were taught not to think for ourselves, but to quote-unquote obey. That is where these wonderful indigo children and crystal children challenge and teach us. They always want to know why. Now, if you've ever talked to a little kid lately, especially like the 2 and 3 year olds or even the 1 year olds, they're talking earlier. They're much more aware, and they can constantly ask why. And it's that curiosity that challenges the adults and sometimes drives adults crazy. But the questions to be asking yourself now are, whose opinion am I operating from? Now, if you've been a listener of Akashic Wisdom, the radio show, my radio show here, you've heard this concept before. We've talked about whose opinion are you operating under. So, but you've got to go deeper into that. You have to go deeper into understanding why you do what you do, not because you're trying to blame anyone, not because you're trying to blame parents or that maybe didn't know any better. What you want to do is try to have a better idea or a better observation of why you do what you do. So, for example, there is a situation that I am personally going through now where I am coming to the realization that in many ways I only see what I want to see around my life, around opinions of other people's opinions, around how, what my choices are. And that is a real huge revelation for me, because in fact, when we only look and we only see what we want to see, we're not seeing the bigger picture of our effect on others or on others' effect on us or our environment, etc. So we really, for me, I have to look and see what I have been missing and where I have not been telling myself the truth about how things are and about how I am operating in this life. And the reason that's important for us all to do is because by telling ourselves the real truth and really observing how we operate, we get the larger picture of that which serves us and that which no longer serves us. So we can move deeply into our own personal knowing. Now, again, I'm going to give the telephone numbers and love to hear from you if you'd like to call and challenge or if you'd like to call and discuss or if you even have another question. So if you're in the United States or in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-429-5471. Or if you're in out in a different country, you can call 011. That's our country code. That's United States country code. 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515. And now you I'm going to also give you my email address that you can email any questions you may have. And that would be info, I-N-F-O, it's I-N-F-O, info at akashicwisdom.com. Akashic Wisdom, just like the name of the show. So feel free to email questions or comments as you wish. So getting back to this message from the Akashic Records about self-love, what they want to share with us is when we're asking whose opinion are we operating from, we need to look at how we respond and how we act around things. So what they're saying is when we're working under other people's opinions, we are acting in a way, in many cases, that is not loving to ourselves and is not acknowledging who we truly are. And we have to start asking ourselves, who are we trying to please? When we're acting, in other words, like if we have a situation that we are responding to, and somehow our response doesn't feel comfortable, it either feels inauthentic or it feels frustrating or it feels it feels like it lacks integrity from our position or our point of view, we really need to ask ourselves, who are we trying to please, as well as who are we trying to prove right? Those are important questions. As you move through your life, it's very important that we all begin to observe, who are we trying to please and who are we trying to prove right, especially in the challenging position? Now, what the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records are also saying is that humans do things to gain approval of someone. The key is to find out within you whose approval are you trying to get. Now, I want you to just take a look at your life. And I want you to take a look at the choices that you've made over the years of your life. And the various choices that you've made that have made you unhappy. The choices that you've made that have made you unhappy. When you look deeply into those choices, you will see that you were not operating under your own personal truth, that you were trying to either please someone else or rebel against someone or prove somebody else right or wrong or prove yourself right or wrong. The choices that are uncomfortable, the choices that you've made that you say, if only I would have known, or I should have done this, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go deeper. Go deeper into those choices and really look at what your decision-making process was. And that's really important for you to take a look at, because when we can start observing that now, we have a much better opportunity to start serving and pleasing ourselves. And that's what it's all about. I mean, that sounds like a huge selfish statement. But the reality is, by pleasing yourself and feeling good about yourself, you are able to anchor and align with your own personal divinity. And when you align with your own personal divinity, you give yourself the opportunity to really seek out your own personal truth and observe it. Now, I know that sounds like the same thing over and over again, but I really, really want you to understand this. That's what the masters, teachers, and loved ones are saying. We really need to have you get this. Because once you understand, then you can decide if, in fact, your actions really are pleasing that person or you're pleasing yourself. And as we said, humans also rebel by treating themselves without self-love. Now, that's, I want you to really look at this. This is a very much of a victim stance, but notice something. We may treat ourselves without self-love from a place of rebellion towards someone else. For example, this is kind of like the thought process. I'll show you how bad you treated me, I will screw up my life, and I will blame you for screwing up my life. And then you'll see how bad it is, and then you'll feel guilty that you screwed up my life. How many people are living that belief? That they are still stuck in feeling bad, sad, or mad at someone and screwing up their life to show that person how bad they treated them and what the consequences were. The whole concept is when you see how bad you've made me feel, you're going to feel guilty, and I'll be happy to get revenge. Because your guilt will be my revenge. Now, I know that sounds really crazy, but I really want you to look at how you've handled things and where that's coming from. The challenge and the problem at that is that individuals who are living out that belief system or have gotten that strategy. And by the way, you got it from somewhere. You didn't make this up on your own. Somebody gave it to you. You watched somebody do this, okay? You watched an adult or a parent. You watched somebody screw up their life, blame somebody else, and feel good when that other person felt guilty. It's a learned behavior. And what happens here is that when you're the one who has to live this screwed up life, you're not happy, and the other person, quite frankly, has moved on. So it never really gets you what you want. It's just a screwed-up strategy. And the way to fix this, in other words, like, so once the master teacher and loved ones kind of laid this out of what's going on for some people, I said, okay, how do we fix this? Here are their comments of how to fix this. Look at your life. Where are the areas where you need the most self-love? Look at who you are trying to please. Journal your feelings, anger and all. And notice if you're guilty about being angry. Then what you want to do is decide if those other people's opinions are valid. Are you really as quote-unquote awful as quote-unquote they say you are? And it's not so much about being awful as being wrong. And if, in fact, you believe there's validity to what somebody says, it's up to you to find the evidence. And it's up to you to accept that part of yourself and decide if you want to change it or not. You know, opinions don't automatically equal truth. That's very, very important. I want to say that again. Opinions don't automatically equal truth. So it's up to you to find your own truth. Or the lack of that truth in the opinion of someone else. And then that's the next step is you want to decide what you want to do to make you feel better about you. You are not powerless. It's important to make a commitment to yourself to take at least one small step every day to feel worthwhile. One thing that will make you feel proud of yourself. Now, we've heard us talk about this before, but this is a real important exercise. Remember to concentrate on doing something only for yourself. And it may be taking time to journal or walk or read or clean out a drawer. It doesn't make any difference. And we're not talking about giving money to a homeless person. I mean, as nice as that is, it doesn't fit the criteria. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It just means that it can go on another list, like what I did for others list. But it has nothing to do with what you did to make yourself feel good about you. It's an action that you took to make you feel good about you. Self-love is also very difficult because the media constantly bombards you with messages about what you don't have, how you don't look, and how wrong it is not to have it all. So on one hand, you want it all, and yet you were taught that you shouldn't be selfish. I mean, there's so many conflicts here. So you want to pursue your own dreams and do what you want to do. And then at the same time, you're told to put others first. You know, is there any wonder we're in conflict? So what we really want to talk about here, we really want you to notice, is that, again, you're in the driver's seat. It's very important for you to understand. You are in the driver's seat. And I want you to understand there's something else that came forward today about taking responsibility for your life. And a comment is, it's not God's job to determine what makes you happy. It's not God's job to map out your strategy to your success or for your success. It's not God's job to make life choices for you. You are the master of your world, and God is your partner. But you create your own reality. Think your own thoughts, make your own decisions. Your thoughts allow you to move into the vibration and frequency of the current moment. Those vibrations span out like to attract like frequencies. And they're very much like iron flex to a magnet. Your thoughts create a pattern of beliefs, experiences, and events in your life. So the question you want to ask yourself today is, what am I creating today, this moment, for this lifetime? And it's very important that you get a real clear picture on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, about what your truth is. Now, it sounds like it might be a lot of work, but the reality is it's all about expanding your own awareness. Because when you expand your awareness, you can then become the true observer of yourself and what makes you feel good about you. So I want you to think about that. And I'd love to take some questions. And again, the 800 number for those in the U.S. and Canada is 888-429-5471. So call and talk to me. Call and talk to me. Now, what also came into my email box last week, as a matter of fact, regarding taking responsibility for your life, is a commentary from the Living Truth Center. And what the commentary is everything begins in the mind. What now exists on the physical realm came from what existed first on the mental plane. You are in charge of your destiny. And now is the time for you to take the control that is needed to bring forth the right results for you. The right results. Notice those words. I want those have a charge. It's less about being right and more about being aligned. Because when you're aligned with your own greatness, you're automatically, quote-unquote, right for you. But it's all about taking responsibility for your life. Do not allow it to proceed in directions that you did not determine for yourself. If you are living another's vision and it is not making you happy, stop. If you're not sure what your dream is, then pray and ask God to reveal the divine plan for your life. And begin to write down your thoughts about how you would like your life to look and feel. Very important. Allow your mind to wander. So you seek, you ask, you know, and the door will be open to you. Now, their comment here is, before you move in any direction, take time first to seek the kingdom, for it is God's good pleasure to give it to you. You are a beloved child of the universe, and you do have your own divine plan that is ready for you. It's very important that you ask for it. And I have a sense that there's people out there saying, well, Donna, I've been asking and asking and asking, and nothing comes. I don't know what to do, and I can't seem to find anything to do, and I don't know which way to go. And that's why I wanted to change that word in there, because you're looking for something that will be quote-unquote right, and it's not about being right. It's about being joyful. You have to look at what makes you feel good. And first, you have to allow yourself to feel good. You have to take responsibility for feeling good. You have to make it okay to feel good. Because the way you manifest, now, remember something. Remember we're talking, I don't know, for those people who don't know about the law of attraction, again, Google that. It's all about feeling what you want and allowing the law of attraction to bring it to you, the energy of the universe. But what's important here is that in order to invoke the law of attraction, first you have to feel like you already have it and become grateful for having it, whatever it may be. And so even if you, for example, you don't know what it is, it's important to feel confident or try and you don't have to feel this 24/7, by the way. Just give it... Just try and do it for 2 or 3 minutes, a couple of times a day. 2 or 3 minutes is a long time, by the way, when you're trying to feel something on a regular basis. But just focus on feeling good and imagine being happy, imagine being content, imagine being wealthy or financially abundant, imagining driving a beautiful new car. Whatever it is for you, just imagine it. And when you're imagining it, allow the feeling of having it to permeate your body. When you allow those feelings to permeate your body, you then align with that receiving. And as soon as you align with that receiving, you want to move deep into gratitude for receiving. Okay, so now here we are. We're halfway done with the show. And I'm going to stop talking for a while because I want to hear from you. Now, the last time I did this, I got an email shortly after I said I'm not going to talk anymore. I had signed off the show, and Nick decided that he should have called in, and he didn't. I was just signing off the show because nobody wanted to call in, and as soon as I was signing off, two people called in. Don't get shut out. If you want to talk to me, if you have a question for the masters, teachers, and loved ones, this is the time in the show for you to call. It doesn't even have to be on the subject we were talking about. It can be on anything that you want to talk about. So I'm going to give the numbers again, and it's 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. or Canada. Or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And so it's really going to be important, if you really want to talk to me, if you really want this program to continue, that you participate. Very important that you participate. And the reason that's important is because whether it's the Akashic Record individual consultation or a group messaging like this is, moving into the Akashic Records is based 100% on your questions. And so that's really important. Really want you to consider that. And a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, actually, it was, I think, last week, I answered a question for Brent. And the answer seemed to disturb him. So it's very important for you to understand, Brent, I'm just answering this question, that all the things that you have been doing were not for naught. It's not about being wrong. It's about understanding that there's still some things hanging out there that are blocking you. And quite frankly, that needs to be real obvious, because if your life's not going the way you want it to go, there's some underlying beliefs that need to be rooted out. And so this is not a negative. It's not a criticism. And I want you to understand that you are deeply loved and you are doing things right. It's just you really need to move into your own beingness of who you are. That's all that's happening here. Okay? So I just want you to know that. And also, there was a question from Nick, and I'm looking in my emails to try and find it, so we can. Well, let's see. What day would that have been? Then August 1st. For whatever reason, I'm not finding it. So, Nick, if you're out there, here it is. Okay. So, Nick, you're now in Bloomington. Good for you. Here's the question. It says, like, I spent a lot of time this past year cleaning out old stuff, so he knows what I'm coming from. So he has some issues here. He's wanting to know what the lessons were about learning, because he went through such down times. And it's interesting, because I don't want to read the full email because it's very personal, but I want you to understand, Nick, if you're listening, that you actually outlined your lessons in that email. The biggest piece that's important in the comment that you made here is that it's all about being an adult. Time to be an adult. But what's really important is for you to define what being an adult is for you. Not what was modeled, but how do you want to define being an adult. It's like what we were talking about before about responsibility, about creating a life of being, having your life be being responsible for your life. So very important for you to really look at what your definition is around being an adult and how you want your life to look and feel. Remember, it's less about being right and more about being joyful. Okay? So now it's 11:42 in Cleveland, Ohio. It's been a really hot day. We've been going through some really hot weather. And I would love to talk to you. Love to talk to someone. And so if you're contemplating calling, now would be the time to do it. I do want to tell you that I'm going to be in San Diego in November. And if you have an interest in taking a level one Akashic Records workshop, learning how to access your own personal Akashic Records, there's a great discount. The discount for the workshop is $333. Regularly it's $350, and it's for 2 days, and it's going to be in November, and I'm going to give you those dates right now. So I will be in San Diego, and the class is going to be on the 5th and 6th of November, level one, and I'll also be doing a lecture in San Diego. The address of where the class is going to take place is in Oceanside, and you get that address once you register. But if you'd like more information on what you learn at an Akashic Records Level 1 workshop, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. Okay? Or you can call me personally offline at 216-691-1233. Okay? Learning how to access your Akashic Records is very important for your journaling, for understanding your life path, for understanding what your next steps are, not because the records or the masters, teachers, and loved ones through the Akashic Records tell you what to do, but because they give you all the information you need to make the appropriate choices. Remember, it's not about being right, but it is about being joyful. So that's what's important. What will I gain if I make this decision? How will this make me more happy? These are the questions you want to be asking yourselves as you move through life. Okay? Alrighty, folks. Well, it's now 11:44, and I would love to talk to someone, but since you're not calling, I'm going to sign off, and I love you very much, and I hope you found benefit from the information that has been shared earlier. The dissertation that came forward from the Akashic Records on self-love hopefully was helpful. If you have any future questions, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. If you have any personal questions, please call me at my personal number at 216-691-1233. And I think that's about it. I've given you my information, and I think that will do it. So I want you to all have a miracle-filled week. Have a wonderful week of observing yourself and your truth. And we'll be here next week, same time, same station, at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern, on BBS Radio, Station 2. Again, this is Donna Fox on... Oh, do we have a caller? Hello?
Can you hear me, Donna?
I can. Who's this?
Hi, it's JoJo.
Hey, JoJo. Right at the nick of time. How are you?
Good, good. I just started listening late and heard you signing off and you still got time, I'm happy to talk
to you. I do. I was signing off because nobody was calling to make to ask questions or make any comments. So I gave my message and I was ready to go, but I'm so glad to talk to you. What's up?
A lot. But as I was sitting here for a few minutes trying to come up with a question, I couldn't think of anything. I could fish and find particular reasons, but are there ever times when those that watch the Akashic Records have like messages waiting, kind of like this is a priority, whether we know it or not, or is it all based on questions?
Well, usually it's the reason why it's important to be based on questions is because it's like if you think about the Akashic Records or the Akashic Record energy like Google, it's like God's Google. It's like a search engine.
Okay.
So the idea is if you were to try to put nothing into a search engine, you know, or you get a lot of stuff. So the more specific the question, the better the answer. So earlier
okay.
we were talking about self-love. I don't know when did you tune in?
You know, it was within the last 10 or so minutes. I was like kind of running around the house, but trying to listen as much as I could.
Sure.
But I got alignment. That's what I heard.
Okay.
A few times you mentioned being aligned rather than being
right. What's going
on
in your life that makes you curious right now? What are you curious about with what's happening in your life?
A lot of things, but still, I guess my photography business still has me, you know, kind of wondering, like, the next step. Like, okay, sometimes things are going well. Sometimes I feel like I should be going a different direction. You know, it's like I have a body of work, and what do I do with it? Because I live in a little tiny tourist area right along the coast here in California, but I know there's bigger markets for my work. I've just never tested them, you know. So at one point in shows earlier, we talked about the desert and whether that was Sedona or even, you know, Palm Springs out here in California, that area.
Uh-huh.
That came up, and that makes sense because I love Sedona, and Palm Springs is a big art market. But I'm just, in a way, wondering, like, what would be the best next market to take my work to?
You know, what's interesting, the first thing that popped in is Santa Fe.
San Jose?
No, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, Santa Fe. Sorry. Okay, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on there, but what I'm also hearing is that you may have you emailed copies of your prints to anybody or your website to different galleries?
Not yet. Like email submissions for, you know, exhibitions or new artists. I haven't done that.
But what I'm saying is that there if you for what I'm hearing is, if you were to Google landscape art and, let's say, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and see what comes up, you may find galleries that handle the kind of work that you do.
Okay.
Same thing with Sedona or and then I'm also hearing Santa Barbara. Don't know why, but the idea here is to search out different galleries that would be potentials for you. Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah, and I'll just let you know, with Santa Fe, even a few years ago, I don't know as of today, but a few years ago, outside of New York City, Santa Fe was the second largest art market in the country.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, even though it's a relatively small town in terms of population, they had hundreds of galleries. And I haven't checked on that recently, but, I mean, that stuck in my head. You know, it's like New York City, Santa Fe. Oh, okay. You know, going from a city of 10 million people to, you know, maybe 150,000. I don't know. But it's impressive. So,
Wow. And then the master teachers and loved one just verified it for you.
Yeah.
And I have to, I mean, I'm
especially,
I don't know anything about art, so it's not like I would know that personally. That came directly from the records.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it was a hit right away for me, too. Cause like, okay.
Yeah.
And
well, how did your body feel when you heard that just a minute ago?
When I heard Santa Fe?
Yeah.
It was, I guess, if I was to kind of describe a feeling, it wasn't like I was jumping out of my seat or anything, but it was like kind of a new feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, almost like, oh, okay, maybe a little bit of hope.
Okay, good.
Maybe ease. Ease is another word that kind of came through. It just was kind of like, it felt good, put it that way.
Okay. That's good.
So what
they're saying is it's really, it's about, you can no longer wait for people to come to you.
Okay.
That's not meant to be harsh, but it is meant to be a wake-up call.
Yeah, I definitely accept that.
And so, you know, the idea is a universal provide can only provide if you get out there and make yourself known. You have to partner with the universe in order to be able to reap what the universe has to offer. I mean, that clearly there are certain times that the universe just brings things to you, and that's wonderful. But what I'm hearing right now is that you have to move forward and allow people to see you.
Okay. And with that, because I understand these on some level. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
I haven't really put myself out there nationally. You know, I've done it in my little area, and that's fine. But in taking that next step, one of the things that had, kind of gave me pause was that I needed good marketing material if I'm going to go out there, like pamphlets and whatever. And I wanted the writing, the copy of it, you know, to kind of match my work. And at times I get flashes of brilliance, if you want to call it that, and it's like I'll write a sentence that's like, oh, that would really go with that piece or whatever. But the overall, just because, you know, I feel my work is so powerful in ways and so tied in with nature, there's a middle ground, you know, a balance of writing things that are so flowery and so over the top that just, you know, it's like, oh, please, not another one of those. But I also, you know, want to honor my work too and not say, yeah, it's really pretty and you should like it. You know, so is there any guidance in that in terms of writing marketing materials that really honor my work without going out of bounds and go into the crazy, you know, snake oil salesman sounding kind of thing?
Well, the first thing that's coming forward, JoJo, is that people will, your work speaks for itself without writing.
Okay.
And that they're kind of giving me both sides here, they're coming up with an idea here. But the first piece is when you write something about your work, then you take the person's interpretation away from them of what it means for them.
Okay.
That's one way of looking at it. So it's really important to allow people to experience it the way it is and what it speaks and what it means to them and how it affects them. That's one way. The other thing that I'm hearing is that they're talking about creating like a coffee table book with the images, with the art. And that's where you would write the comments on it. So this way it gives people a choice of having either just a piece of art that speaks to them or the actual book of the images with your comment, your universal comments from the universe, if you will.
Okay.
And there, that was also interesting, and I've not really seen one like this, and I don't know, but they're suggesting that it be spiral bound.
Okay.
So that it can lay flat rather than a bound book. So check that out.
And
again,
what's funny is
you have to decide how that feels for you. Does that feel like truth? Does that feel like, does it feel right? Can you get behind it? Can you get aligned with it? What is your truth of what you want to share with people? Now, what they're also saying is that within the story of your work has to do with why the paintings are meaningful to you, the pictures are meaningful to you, because that's important, like for the back of it. But again, allowing people to receive it the way they get it is also important. Is this making any sense to you?
Yeah, it really is. Well, what I find interesting is that before I really started the business part of the photography, I went out for years and I was just taking photographs. And I was like just constantly living in inspiration and more inspiration and more inspiration. And what happened is more amazing photos would come to me, you know, more amazing experiences and more amazing light, because I literally had that whole other part of what I was going to do shut off. I was like, I don't have to think about that. I just have to go out and be inspired and be in nature. And then it was actually a really rough transition to turn around and learn business and see how to market my stuff and make a lot of mistakes with something that was so close to my heart. But you know what? That took years, and now I feel like I'm to a point, obviously, where I need to take that step. And what's interesting is when I was just shooting pictures to shoot, when I was just doing exactly what I wanted to do, it's like I had all these ideas flood to me about not telling people about the work, letting them see it for themselves and come up with their own conclusions and their own inspirations and everything else. And what's funny, it's almost like then I went the business route and came up with all these stories and whatever, and saw how some things would sell better if I mentioned this or that. And so it seems like I'm coming back to my roots now, the basics, getting back to like square one. Why did I do this in the first place? So now I can kind of carry that through. It's like come full circle.
Very good. Yeah.
So it's making a lot of sense.
Well, and the thing is that you have to do what's joyful for you. You may be making it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah. I guess part of me looks at the market and sees how other people are having success marketing their stuff. And, I take note of it. It's like if someone's been successful doing something a certain way, well, that works in the market. But, for every person, there's a different way of doing things.
Right.
And the book idea actually came last week when I realized in my area, I'm just south of Big Sur, and with the work I sell, I have a lot of Big Sur pieces, and like usually people have one day because they're traveling, so they go through Big Sur in a day. And so I was going to, come up with some kind of, like, guidebook form, because I give the directions to people on what to do, and it takes, like, 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
You know, half the time they're writing things down. So anyways, I was going to do a book, because I have a pretty good idea of what to do about that, but it's just going to be a small guidebook to start. So these things seem to line up, you know, when you mentioned the coffee
table
book.
And the book is going to have pictures in it, is it?
Yeah, it's going to be my photos, basically. Like,
right.
You know, here's why you're going to this place, because, yes, at times it is this beautiful. You know.
Yes.
So,
right, exactly.
You know, whether it be a waterfall going in the ocean or a redwood forest right on the ocean, you know, it's like Big Sur.
But this,
a lot
here,
of that.
This is a picture of it, and you can go see it live with this. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why when you mentioned the spiral bound thing, because I was focused in a little different direction, but the spiral bound thing would allow people to kind of open that book and have a map and it's not like a book kind of, you know, flapping around. It's just like, it's just basically a kind of a thick page now, and they're just looking at that and, you know, carrying it in their hand, throw it in their pocket. It's going to be a relatively small book. So that spiral-bound thing is interesting. And also interesting for the coffee table book, because I haven't seen too many fine art photography coffee table books that are spiral-bound. Usually it's like they want to go the whole nine and get a big, big, you know, hard-bound book. And
I know.
So that's a lot to publish.
Yeah.
So
there's something about, you know, there is like, but have you ever noticed that a hard-bound coffee table book is very hard to keep open?
Yes.
So it's hard to appreciate the art on a regular basis, because you have to sit there and open the book and thumb through it, whereas if it was spiral-bound, you could just leave the pictures out and have them inspire you with whatever you're doing.
It's pretty ingenious. And really, to take it to a next easy step, I mean, you could really have that spiral-bound book, open it to a page, and put it in a frame on the wall. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just put it right there, and, oh, I want to change the art in there. Okay, flip a page, put it right back in, look at it. You know, you cannot do that with a spiral-bound book. I've even bought the hardcover books, like collectible photography, and cut the pictures out of them so I can, you know, have them on a wall. But I ruin the book, but I usually get a couple copies of that if I'm going to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, really, just ingenious.
Happy to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully maybe you'll be able to come into San Diego at the, you know, in November.
That'd be nice. That'd be real nice. And before that, you have an event too, right? Coming up in Ohio.
No. Why did you say that? Did you think
Isn't
I would
there,
I
like
did?
A big conference or a big expo?
Oh yeah, the Universal Light Expo. I do. Yeah, I'm going to be speaking at, thanks, I forgot about that. Universal Light Expo is coming up in October. I'll have a booth there, and I'll be speaking there on, it'll be the 8th and 9th of October, as a matter of fact. That's right. That's right. Thanks for reminding me of that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It'd be a neat one to go to.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. That's got like 300 booths and, I mean, or no, probably more booths than that, but 300 speakers. It's a great event in Columbus, Ohio. Absolutely. So. Yep. Well, I hope this helps.
Any idea just for those of us out there, like how much it costs for the weekend to have a ticket?
For the Universal Light Expo? For this workshop?
Both, actually.
Oh, well, the Universal Light Expo, I think, is $10 to get in a day.
Okay.
Pretty reasonable. And, you know, you just kind of stay at a
really
hotel
is.
And you walk, you know, come in and you, you know, whatever. You can fly into Columbus. Columbus has got its own airport, you know, so you could do that. And then to come to a workshop in San Diego, the price before September 1st is $333, and that includes a one-hour telephone consultation with me also. That's part of the price.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
Yeah. So, you know, so in case anybody wants more information, I can email it to anybody who wants it. So. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, thank
All
you.
All right. Well, hey, JoJo, thanks so much for calling in. It means a lot. I love talking to you, okay?
Yeah. I love talking with you, and I really appreciate it. So I'm glad I
yeah,
glad
you're
I
welcome.
Got home in time to hear the
keep
show.
Keep me posted about what's going on with your art. You know, I so deeply love it, and I can't wait to display your art. You know, I'm going to be moving into a new apartment, and I can't wait to have that up on my wall. So thanks so much.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, great. So, well, we're at the end of the show. Did you have any other questions?
No, I'll let you go and sign off. Thank you so much, Donna. Have a great night.
All right, dear. Take care. Have a good evening, and thanks again for calling.
Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we really want to thank JoJo for calling in and asking his question, and hopefully you kind of got an idea of how it works to have a consultation, and If there's anyone out there that would like more information, I'd be happy to talk to them about that. And again, my number is 216-691-1233 is my office number, and be happy to talk to anybody. And you can call 24 hours a day. If I'm right there at the office, I'll answer, and if I'm not, it'll be a great voicemail. So tonight, again, we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom radio show, internet radio show, on August 7th, 2011, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. And I'll be back next week, folks. So get your questions ready. Have a great miracle-filled week. Bye-bye.